If you take out your copy of the scriptures and turn to James chapter 1. You know, thank you, worship team. You know, sometimes, does anyone just come in to worship and a song just captures your heart? And you close your eyes and it's just like there's nobody else in the room. It's just you and Jesus. And it's like you're singing that song to him and you're just connecting with him. And you can just feel his love being poured into you. And that's a good thing about coming together and worshiping together and hearing a word from God together. You know, we've been talking about spiritual maturity out of the book of James. You know, Pastor Leo has been talking the last 2 weeks about trials and facing tests in our lives. And today we're talking about temptations. And they're all the same word. And yet two of them, God wants us to face trials. He wants us to be tested so that we might trust Him and to love Him and to grow in our faith in Him. But the other one is destructive. And today we're going to talk about the destruction that comes for when we yield, when we give in to temptations. 2 weeks ago, we're getting there. Oh, there we go. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about trials, or Pastor Leo talked about trials. Whoop, I went back. Okay, there we go. I'm doing better now. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the beginning of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And we talked about trials, and Brother Mike offered these words that we face trials, each one of us, daily, we face trials. And that is it's that God blesses the person who trusts Him in the midst of facing trials and challenges in our life. That if by trusting Him, God helps us to persevere and to love Him and to draw near to Him. We all face trials. You know this. You might specifically right now be going through a particular trial in your life. It might be a trial within your marriage. It might be a trial at work. It might be a trial dealing with children. It might be a trial with physical health. And God is with us, and He is asking us, trust me through this. And last week we talked about testing, that our faith is going to be tested daily almost. As soon as you leave the house, maybe even before you get out of bed, your faith is tested. Am I going to get out of bed today? It's too tough, God. And last week we specifically talked about one type of test. We talked about the test of what are you going to do with the money that God gives you? So we face trials. God is asking us to pass the test. And finally, in James chapter 1, He's inviting us to hear a word about the other T. Listen to what Brother James has to share with us out of verses 12 through 18. Blessed is the man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that he has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tested by God, or being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. But don't be deceived, my dearly loved brothers. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. By his own choice he gave us a new birth by the message of truth, so that we would be the first fruits of his creations. You know, as we talk about temptations today, all of us understand that temptations are out there amongst us. Temptations attack us specifically because each of us has certain things that we struggle with and are challenged by. You know, some of the things that are most common for us, forms of temptations are this: materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness, anger or bitterness, sexual lust, envy, gluttony, lying. And those are kind of big ideas, but I'm going to get a little bit more specific. Here are some other ways that we have common temptations. You know these. You probably faced them probably even in this week. Condemn self for past mistakes or sins. We feel sorry for ourselves over life's disappointments or the situations that you're currently in can cause or be a place of temptation. We get offended or we hold grudges or we walk in unforgiveness. We become consumed by anger. We're spiritually lazy or we become lukewarm in our faith. The temptation is to just stay there. That there can't be a change. There can't be something new. We stretch the truth. We lie. We cheat. We even go so far as to try to hide sin from God or from each other. To compromise your integrity or to worry or to become fearful or to be anxious. All of these. And my hope is that as I'm listing all these ways that we are tempted daily, that one of them hits home. You know, even just last week in my Sunday school class, we talked about temptations in the context that Jesus was tempted himself. Last week we talked about these temptations. The temptation to be perfect. Anyone had that one? Either at home or with your family or in the church family or at work, to be perfect. That's a big temptation. The temptation to go with the crowd. When everybody else has decided that, hey, we're going to act in this way, it can be a real temptation to just say, okay, that sounds okay, I'll go with that. And not ever ask a question, but just go. We're sometimes tempted with thinking that this thing is all that I need. This thing will bring me true happiness. This thing will be my satisfaction. And if I only have this one thing, I'll be okay. Sometimes we're tempted to do whatever pleases ourselves, regardless of the consequences. Anybody ever like that? You just say, forget it. I'm just going to give in. I can't resist it. I'm just going to give in. Who cares? There's not going to be any consequences. It's just a little thing. And you give in. Some of us are tempted with the need to please others. And that one's real too. You want to be liked by everybody. You want to make sure that everybody's like, oh, you're a good person. You do right things. Until you do something that goes against the crowd. And then last two things, things that tempt us. We sometimes say yes when we should have said no. A great offer comes your way, an opportunity to experience something good or to be involved in something, and you say yes. But when you look in your calendar and you know you should have said no. Or the opposite. Sometimes we get in the habit in our life to say no all the time. When God is asking, you know, we're tempted to say no, and we say no to everything when we should have said yes to even just one of the things. Because it was going to be an offer that it might have been good for us to take. But wait. We all face temptations. We all face the challenges to who we are and how God's designed us. But temptations are not the sins, church family. But they intend to lead us to sinful activity. It is not a sin to be tempted. It is how you respond to those temptations that determine whether it is a sin or not. When you are tempted by something, it should alert you to be on guard. That this could be harmful, that this could be a challenge, this could be you need to be aware, this is a place where God could be praised, or it could be a place where we turn away from God. And so James offers us several ways in order for us to continue to grow spiritually out of the text today. Because God knows that we're going to face temptation, and God has a plan, and He has a way that we're to deal with those temptations. And so we come to three things out of these passages of Scripture that I want us to think about to contemplate as we face our temptations daily, and that our temptations would not get the victory over us, but that God would give us the victory in the midst of our temptation. Listen to these things. The first is, don't blame God when you are tempted. James comes right out and says, don't blame God when you're tempted. Because God is good. And God is righteous. And God is holy. He is not tempted by evil, nor does He tempt us to do evil. Amen. We have somebody on our side that loves us so much. They're not out to get us. He knows that temptations are going to come, and they don't come to Him. But how many of you would say when something is coming into your life are quick to blame God? I know I am sometimes. God, why do I have to experience? Why does this temptation hit me and it doesn't hit my neighbor? Why do I struggle with this temptation and that person doesn't? I think that they have it all together. But remember this, church. God is good and He is righteous and He is holy. God created us with certain desires. Desires like hunger. Desires to be loved. The desires that feel like our life is of worth and of value. God created those values, those desires inside of us, and those are good. He created them. But He also will see that those desires are satisfied. God gives you the desire to be loved. He puts you in a family to be loved. He puts you in relationships with friends who love you and care about you. And can He have that love satisfied? But unfortunately, we are tempted to feel those desires ourselves. Desires that are satisfied outside of God's design are sin. And sin is destructive. And we face a worthy adversary who knows how to tempt us. He knows the areas of our life that we are weak in. And when we have been hurt by somebody or we've been hurt in life, He knows exactly how to tempt us. To keep us distracted from trusting that God who is good, that God who is righteous, that God is holy, that God who loves us and wants us to lean on Him and to trust Him in the midst of facing a temptation. I am amazed how one person is tempted one way and it gets them, and another person is that the adversary knows exactly what type of temptation to send at the right moment. But I'm not going to give the adversary too much credit. Because within our hearts, we have evil in it. And that evil wants to take the easy road. That evil part of us wants to take the comfortable part. I don't want to have to deal with God. I don't want to have to trust God. I want to trust myself. And so when temptation rises up and it challenges you and it becomes difficult, God is calling to us, don't blame Him, but lean on Him. In the midst of it, take responsibility today for how you respond to temptations. That will ultimately show whether you trust God or don't trust God. In chapter 1 of the book of James, we're talking about maturing in Christ. How many of you, when you were younger, or maybe just baby believers, you were tempted by things that you're no longer tempted by? Because God has given you victory over that temptation. Anybody? I remember, sarcasm is not a good thing sometimes. You think you can belt out and just say something, and it's not good. There's no consequence there. And God would say, no, there's a proper way to talk. There's a proper way to speak. And He would come in the midst of that temptation. And you have things in your life too. Things that you've had victory over. Things that we can praise God. So, don't blame God when you're tempted, but I want to offer this. Praise God that He doesn't leave you in the midst of your temptation. He gives you a way out. Trust His way out. Don't blame God when you're tempted. The second thing Brother James offers us in the scriptures today is don't be deceived. Temptations will get you. Temptations which you yield yourself to, you submit to, will destroy you. Let's just get that clear. temptation's primary job is to distract you from God and keep you focused on doing things that don't honor God. That's what a distraction does. And what it doesn't say, the temptation doesn't tell you, is that it will ultimately has destruction in its goal. Don't be deceived. The next few things that I'm going to share with you are things that if you've been in church life long enough, are simple things. But these simple things are things that God has given us in order that we would not be deceived. Watch these. Don't be deceived that think that prayer doesn't work. Prayer works. Talking things over with God, it gives you that sense of comfort, that sense of confidence in Christ. When you're going and you're facing a temptation, go and talk things out with God. Let Him know that you're being tempted. He already knows. He knows what you're facing, and He is with you. And He'll show you how you can combat that temptation. Talk it over with Him. How many of you have ever had to deal with something and you struggled with something and you finally gave in and went and talked it out with somebody who loved you? And they gave you good advice. And they let you know you're not going to go through something all by yourself. Well, that's what God does. He knows that you're going to be tempted. And He offers Himself to come with us and be with us. Don't be deceived. Talking to God about your temptations and trusting Him, it will strengthen you. Jesus used God's word to counter His temptations, and it works for us. The more of this word that gets into our minds and into our hearts, and we begin to put it into place and living it out in our day-to-day life, the more we can face the temptations and use God's word to combat it. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, used Deuteronomy. When Satan tempted him, hey, you haven't eaten for 40 days and for 40 nights, I can feed you. And Jesus would say, man does not live on bread alone, but by the word of God. We need God's word into our souls. It feeds us. It changes the way we see things. It changes the way we think about things. It gives us a new lens, a new context to see our world that we live in. Don't be deceived. Prayer, Bible study, studying the Word of God. These are little things that little practices that we can have, but they're powerful as we face temptations. Avoid tempting situations. In 1 Peter, it would say, flee, run away. When you know you're going to be tempted by something, when you see a situation, get out of it. Leave it alone. Avoid it. But it's not always easy. And then finally, put yourself in an accountability relationship for encouragement and strengthening. Protection. You know, when you're in relationship with someone who loves you, an accountability partner, a spiritual accountability partner who knows you, he knows what you're tempted, he or she knows what you're going through, he knows what you're tempted by. And when you get a chance and an opportunity to be with him, the first thing is saying, have you been tempted by this? You know, brothers and sisters, the way that we grow spiritually is by being in connection, in relationship with each other, being held accountable by folks who love us and want us to be who God is creating us anew to be. And it is hard. I don't like to meet with accountability partners. And I don't want to be asked the hard questions. But it is refreshing to know that somebody loves me. It is refreshing to know that they want to help me grow. And by being an accountability partner, somebody that will ask you hard questions, challenge you, are you trusting God? And then out of those answers, coming beside you in prayer, letting you know that you're not going to face whatever you're going to face by yourself, it's refreshing. God loves us. He doesn't leave us just hanging all by ourselves to try to figure this all out. The last one, I didn't put it in here, God gives Him Himself. His very Spirit, when you became a follower of Christ, God gave His very Spirit to help us fight temptation. That Spirit of truth that lies in you tells you that this is true. That when you pray, that you're talking to You're talking to the mediator. You're talking to Christ. You're talking to God. That spirit that dwells in you tells you this is legit. And that's God's spirit working in you. Amen. He doesn't leave us alone to just try to figure things out. He gives his very spirit working in our life. So don't be deceived. These simple things, these spiritual practices that we have in our life, they mean something. I know what it's like to go a couple of days without reading the Word of God. I get beat up a lot. I give in to temptation a lot more easier when I'm not in His Word. Or I'm not talking to Him. Or I'm not in fellowship with His people. Or I just keep saying, I can go into that situation. That's not going to get me. I get so prideful or bold. And the challenge is, God's like, no, follow my way. And it'll be easier for you. Don't be deceived, church. And the final thing is, don't forget what God has done. That fish on the other side says, because God is with us, we can have victory over our temptations. Now, if you go back where the heart of, you know, verse 13 and 14, it talks of that we're enticed by our own desire. And the temptation comes as it meets those desires, okay? And it tempts us, it ensnares us, just like this hook is reaching through the water to ensnare this fish. And even we put a fish, when we put a little worm on there to entice him, soon enough that fish learns, I don't want to get too close to that one because it killed my mama or my daddy fish. Don't forget what God has done. Verse 17, every generous act and perfect gift is from Him. Think about in your own life the very generous gifts or acts or perfect gifts. They're from God. And if you don't think that you have any of them, I'm going to give you a couple ideas. If you've got a husband or a wife that love you, that's a perfect gift. You have somebody to lean on. Somebody who cares about you, who loves you. If you have children, and there are days when they are challenging and difficult, but they are a precious, perfect gift from God to enrich your life and to give you an opportunity to live out your faith and to learn love, sacrificial love. Every generous act and perfect gift is from above. God gives good gifts to all of us. And when we give into temptations, it's like we're saying to God, God, what you have given to us, it's not enough. I need something else, God. And God would remind us, listen, I've given you what you need. I've given you the things that will help you be satisfied. I've given you the things so that you feel loved and cared for and you have purpose on this earth. I have given those things to you. Anything outside of what I've given you is going to probably give you, you know, lead you away. Every generous act and perfect gift is from Him. Don't forget what God has done. He chose us, verse 18. He chose to give us new birth through the message of truth. We can proclaim the glory of the Lord today, because the glory of the Lord went to the cross, died for our sins, and rose again 3 days. He chose to give us new birth through the message of God has given us an opportunity to respond to a new message, to His truth, a new way of life. And that's a way of life in trusting Him and to loving Him and to caring for the things that He cares about. He chose us to give us new birth through the message of truth. And kind of as a reminder, God incarnate, Jesus faced temptation and He overcame. We can have the delight that can say to others, my God knows what I'm facing. My God responded in a way that honored His plan and His purpose. My God came to earth and lived amongst us and taught us the truth and loved the Father and was tempted. Not just with the Matthew 14 passage where Satan tempted him. No, that just got things going. He was tempted later by church leaders that didn't believe his message. He would be tempted by followers who would question him and wonder why. Why do we have to do it this way? Why do I need to trust you? Why do I need to believe you? God Himself understands everything that we go through because He Himself has gone through it and He has had the victory. So, those who believe in Him, those who trust in Him, those who are connected to Him can have that same hope that we will overcome just as He did. And ultimately, that we will be with Him for eternity where there will be no temptation. There will be no more trials. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. And one day we will be in His presence and it will be good. Anybody longing for those days? Amen. Don't forget what God has done for you. What about you today? Temptation, yes, it is a trap. Ultimately, all temptations are looking to trap you, to ensnare you. They are real. Don't think that they are not real. Don't think that you have the strength on yourself to overcome temptations. We don't. We're not that strong. We do need Jesus. We need to trust Him. We need to trust His Word. We need to trust His Spirit to empower us. Are you feeling trapped today by a particular temptation? This morning's invitation goes like this. You know, sometimes in an invitation, I'm not always real sure what we're inviting folks, and I'm going to give you some ideas. This morning, I want you to think about this. Will you choose today to turn from sin today and begin to trust Jesus? Maybe you're here today, and your life is a story of how you have given in to temptation after temptation after temptation, and sin has destroyed you. You're a broken person. You're a person that feels lost and disconnected, like God doesn't care. Well, God does care about you today. Choose today to turn from your sin and begin a relationship with Jesus Christ and put your trust and faith in Him. Or maybe you're the person here today. I want to encourage you to choose to admit that you need help facing a particular temptation. And it's hard for us sometimes. As a church family, we don't want to let other people know that we struggle with anything. Sometimes we come together and, man, that person has got it all together. That person talks spiritual. That person talks like they know what they're dealing with. They seem like they got it all together. And the reality is that all of us still face temptations. Things that ensnare us. Things that entrap us. And sometimes we do give in to those. Each of us needs to have people in our lives that we can share our struggles with so that they can come and maybe they'll share a word from God's Word that will encourage you to stay strong. Maybe they'll pray over you and let you know that you're not alone. You don't face whatever you face all by yourself. Today, I'm inviting you to choose to admit that you need help facing a particular temptation. And I'm going to invite you, as we come to the invitation time, I'm going to invite you to step out of your pew and to come and let us pray together about whatever temptation is ensnaring you or trapping you today. Don't leave God's house today knowing that you're going to go face that same trap as soon as you leave here. Sometime this week, let us meet together. Let us come together to God. Let people in to help you face your temptation. And then the last one. Some of you today, would you choose today to grow in Christ and to make a plan to mature? We've been talking about spiritual maturity in chapter 1 of the book of James. All of us face trials. We're all going to be tested. And each of those trials and each of those testing, God sends those. And He's trying to help us grow in our trust and our relationship with Him. To lean on Him, to believe on Him, that He is with us as we face all things. But God also knows that we do face temptations. How many of you have a battle plan to help you mature in your relationship with Christ? Or are you just hoping it magically happens? Come today. Let us talk together about how you might have a plan to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. I'm going to invite the praise band to come forward as they prepare for our time of invitation. Church, as you stand and we have this time, go ahead and stand as you have this time of invitation. Think about that. Don't let today be just another day where you hear a message and it sounded okay. Respond to what God is saying in His Word. Don't let today go. Don't let yourself face whatever temptations you're facing alone. God loves you too much. He has a plan for your life. Don't let that plan be set aside because we give in to temptation.